They stayed at the diner when the rain lasted past sundown, bedded down on the mattresses in the old office. Gerard deliberately picked one on the other side of the desk from Mikey and Ray, who'd curled up together in one corner. Gerard rolled up in a blanket, faced the wall, and tried not to think about it. He didn't know what was going on with them, and he didn't much care. He'd slept alone for so long anyway that he barely remembered what it was like to have someone's breath in his ear. He wasn't jealous. He wasn't fucking remembering, except he was. Corse walked his dreams again that night, like a specter, except solid, vibrant, impossibly warm. Later, Gerard couldn't remember when the taste of his skin and the twist of his fingers in Gerard's hair had turned into the sensation of hands around his throat, only that he'd woken up pleading, with Fungul shaking his shoulder.
"Hey, man. Hey, it's all right. You're safe," he was whispering.
Gerard forced himself not to recoil, and as soon as he recognized Fungul, he sighed and sat up.
"Sorry, fuck, sorry,"
he whispered back. A quick glance showed that Mikey and Ray hadn't woken yet. When he looked back, Fungul pulled a pack of cigarettes out of his vest pocket and waved them in silent inquiry. Gerard nodded, and they both trooped quietly outside. It had stopped raining, and the first signs of sunrise were showing in the east, although it was still mostly dark. Fungul stood still for a moment, then leaned against the front of the diner and lit a cigarette.
"Gonna be a scorcher today,"
he muttered around the filter as he passed Gerard the pack and matches.
"Isn't that every day?
How can you tell?" Gerard asked, lighting his own cigarette and passing the pack back.
"Zones'll turn you into a weatherman, too, within a month or two," Fungul answered.
"Well, nobody trusts a weatherman, either," Gerard said acidly, sucking in a lungful of smoke and shrugging. Fungul looked at him a little sideways.
"I'm gonna let you and your crew take this place over," he said after a moment's silence.
Not that Gerard wasn't grateful for the change of heart, but... "They're not my crew," Gerard protested. "I followed them out here, not the other way around."
"Just calling them how I see them, party poison. There's something about you."
He trailed off, and Gerard stopped breathing for a moment, but Fungul just went on.
"You may have been following them, but you're in the driver's seat now. For real. If you don't want to be, it's sort of too fucking bad. But hey, maybe they'll make it on their own."
He took one last puff on his cigarette and flicked the butt in the dirt. Gerard watched the embers fade, clenching his teeth, but he couldn't stop the words from trickling out in an icy little cascade. "I will not let anything happen to my brother," he hissed. Fungul looked coolly back at him for a moment, expression unreadable. Then he nodded once.
"Then get ready to drill, motherfucker. If fucking Dr. D wants me to train you, I'm gonna do it right."
Gerard blew out a slow stream of smoke, trying to hide his surprise, and his annoyance at the tone. "You always this nice to newbies?" he drawled sarcastically.
Fungul snorted. "You don't want to see me mean, baby."
That was how it started, but maybe Fungul wasn't quite such an ass when he got used to him, or maybe Gerard was more of a jackass than he remembered. It had been a long time since he'd had many. Well, maybe friends was a stretch. Either way, it was a bit of a shock how easily they took to working together, and Gerard quickly learned drac routes, bolt holes, which runner dens to avoid and which ones would put you up for the night, no questions asked. The ones where you watched your back, and the ones where you kept your ears open. Gerard learned to keep his ears open at other times, too. Each time Showpony glided into the diner on his trademark roller skates, which was often, he solemnly noted their intel to take back to Dr. D, along with the latest finished electronics for trade from Ray and Mikey's workshop. He always had a teasing compliment or two for Gerard, who had inexplicably begun to develop a bit of a reputation among the runners as someone important, someone to know. Showpony had, for whatever reason, decided to embroider this even further. Fungul and Party Poison, as well as Cobra Kid and Fungul, or Jetstar and Party Poison, appeared with regularity in Dr. D's broadcasts. The one regular occurrence for which it was useless for Gerard to keep his ears open was, annoyingly, on his own turf. Showpony's arrivals usually meant messages for Fungul that they disappeared into the back room to discuss. None of the rest of them were invited. Sometimes Fungul disappeared for a day or two after these little meetings. Gerard couldn't help being curious. He waited until one afternoon when Fungul was in a foul mood already, because he figured at least he probably wouldn't make it worse. He was perched on a stool in the workshop, tinkering with an old grenade launcher someone had traded Ray and Mikey in exchange for droid gyros. No one had asked why he needed them, and scowling. Show Pony had just left after an hour shut away in the office with Fungul. Gerard leaned against the workbench and said, carefully, "Don't you worry."
"About what?"
Fungul asked shortly around the lengths of wire clamp between his lips.
"Well," prevaricated Gerard, rethinking the wisdom of this conversation even as the words tumbled out,
"about Dr. D and Show Pony and—"
"I do worry about them," Fungul said seriously. "It's a dangerous job running WKIL. But they're big boys," he drawled.
"No, I mean," Gerard said, "that Dr. D will find out about you and—" Fungul started laughing before he could even spit out the rest of the sentence.
"It's not funny, asshole!" "Fuck yes it is!" Fungul wheezed. "You're on the wrong track there. Are you jealous, party poison? Oh no, I know what it is. You just don't want anyone to get any action around here. Maybe you want to pass that little edict along to Jet and the kid too, Killjoy." He chuckled again. "Me and Pony Man. Doc would kick my ass if I tried. You better watch it. You keep flirting like you do and he might kick yours."
Gerard sputtered. He wasn't fucking jealous. "I'm not flirting, and stop trying to fucking distract me. What the hell are you doing back there, then?" Fungul's face clouded with the same old, implacable look.
"It's none of your business."
He spat out a coil of wire and started twisting it into the trigger mechanism of the launcher. Gerard watched him for a few more minutes in silence, then turned and walked out. He grabbed a pair of binoculars from one of the diner tables on the way outside and climbed up to sit on the roof. The hills behind them blocked their view-up zone, but crews occasionally cut through the valley. After a while, he set the glasses in his lap and just watched, back propped against the D, and he was idly wishing for a sketchbook like the stack he'd abandoned in his and Mikey's apartment so long ago, when he heard the noises. It was the trunk of the Trans Am popping, the electronic whine of the mobile transmission set firing up. He crept closer to the edge of the roof until he could see a dark head, then Fungul started talking quietly.
"We still on for tonight, KK?" "Yeah, he just left." "No, I can get away. Can you come get me?" "The Normal Junction. I'll wait just off Redemption." "2200? "Yeah, come at 1900, and that's enough time." "Okay."
He laughed quietly.
"Look alive, killer."
Gerard heard the clicks of the set being powered down and the trunk closing, then the back door of the diner opened and shut below him. Gerard lay down on his stomach and pillowed his head on his arms, waiting. Before long, the door opened again and Fungul slipped away along the edge of the valley. Gerard tracked him with his binoculars. He was wearing a black jacket, his usual colorful clothing zipped out of sight. Gerard knew that jacket. Fungul was going to the city. Gerard was sure of it. He lay on the roof and watched the dark figure until it reached the turnoff to Redemption Road. Then he watched even longer, until the sun started to slip behind the hills and a brown van pulled off the side of the road. He hesitated for a moment, binoculars in hand, then made a decision and climbed back off the roof. When he hurried back into the diner, Mikey and Ray were still in the workshop.
"Guys!" Gerard shouted.
Mikey dropped the small pot of oil he was holding, and it splattered all down the sleeve of his jacket.
"Shit, party," he swore.
"What's up?"
Ray asked, milder, silently handing Mikey a handful of rags as Mikey shrugged out of the jacket.
"Fuck, sorry, I—"
"Let's go out," Gerard said. This was probably stupid, probably a total fucking waste, but he just couldn't—
"Go out?"
Mikey asked. "There's a droid club in one. Heard they have good bands. That new band, Mad Gear or whatever, they crash the place sometimes." Gerard smiled winningly.
"A droid club?"
Ray asked. He sounded interested, and Gerard bit back a smile. The lure of a robotics contact for Ray, a droid core band for Mikey. If this didn't work—
"Where's Fungul?"
"He went out. It'll just be us." Mikey narrowed his eyes.
"What am I supposed to wear?" he bitched. "That sleeve needs to soak."
Gerard shrugged out of his own jacket. "Here, wear mine. Come on, it'll be dark soon. Let's go." Mikey shrugged on the dead Pegasus jacket, and Gerard urged him and Ray out the door and into the car. The roughest clubs in the Battery had nothing on the zone clubs. They were usually in half, or more, derelict buildings, with derelict furniture and booths you could use to strip paint, or set something on fire. Farther up zone, they usually had blacked-out windows as well, so even if you walked in at high noon, it was like walking into a cave. Strange Loves, the droid club in Zone 1, actually was underground. Gerard assumed it was for security. Anyone running a club this close to the city had to have a few screws loose, so to speak. Gerard parked the car outside and looked at Ray and Mikey. "Keep your helmets on until I scope this place out," he said thoughtfully, tugging his own rebreather on to hide his face. Inside, band gear littered a small stage, but the place was filled with pumping club music. A few rickety-looking droids gyrated on pedestals around the room, and the room itself was a mix of bright colors, dusty leather, and dented metal. As the three of them stood scanning the bar for an open table, a figure in a ripped net shirt and dirty jeans slunk up to them.
"Hey," he drawled, "I know you. You're party poison."
Gerard startled, then realized he was talking to Mikey. A quick nudge of his fingers against Mikey's side had Mikey turning to face the guy, Ray stepping up to his side. Ray flipped up his visor.
"Maybe, maybe not. Who are you?"
"Tommy Chow Mein, but you can call me whatever you want."
His smile showed yellow teeth, and too many of them. Mikey flipped up his visor, too.
"Do we want?"
"Hey, hey, your crew's got that sweet workshop, and I could be your main man for battery operations party if you were into that. Lot of market there these days. Let me buy you a few drinks, a few dances, and I'll tell you all about it."
Mikey looked back at Gerard, and Gerard leaned close to whisper to him. It was almost 2200 now.
"String him along, kid. There's something I gotta go do."
Mikey shot him a narrow-eyed glare, but nodded minutely. Gerard stepped back outside, shivering in just his sleeveless shirt now that the sun had gone down. The black fabric blended into the rock wall behind him, and he scaled it to the top, slinking along the rocks with his eyes on the road from the city. He waited in the dark. He wasn't sure how long. One thing was for sure, though. He never would have heard it from inside, but now that he was outside, he could see it, a lone vehicle rocketing along the road with a sputter and a squeal of overworked cylinders, three drac cycles tearing along behind it. It was the van he'd seen earlier, hurtling through the darkness with its headlights out, apparently hanging onto the road by the light of the moon alone, and by the light of the bike headlights weaving and racing after it. "Shit!" he spat out, scrambling back down the rock face and shoving his way through Strangelove's front doors, pulling off his rebreather helmet and shaking his hair out of his face. "Jet! Cobra!" he barked, and Ray and Mikey looked up immediately, along with about half the club. Tommy looked confused that the telltale red hair was now on view halfway across the bar, but Mikey just shoved at Ray until he slid out of the booth, threw a couple of credit notes on the tabletop, and steered them both out the door.
"Get in the car!" Gerard snapped, jumping into the driver's seat and revving the engine.
Mikey was still pulling the passenger door shut as Gerard punched the accelerator and sent the Trans Am down the road. The van and its pursuers had pulled away, but the larger vehicle's engine was no match for the Trans Am, and they managed to catch up, just in time to see its taillights swerve crazily as the pursuers managed to shoot out both back tires.
"Shit!" Gerard yelled again, and floored the accelerator.
The van's driver managed to keep the vehicle upright, but it had slowed to a crawl. The cycle slowed with it, obviously closing in for the kill, but the trailing drac bobbled his handlebars at the roar of the Trans Am's engine. If they hadn't realized they had their own pursuer, they were realizing it now. The three cycles weaved and scattered to opposite sides of the road, one pulling in front of the ailing van. Gerard flashed his high beams, hoping the driver got the message. "Pull over." The van swerved abruptly to the shoulder, and the trailing cycle had to take evasive action to avoid a collision. Gerard dodged the foundering bike, and Mikey leaned out of the passenger window and took the shot. The drac went down. His two companions slowed. Gerard took the opportunity to pull up beside the closest one. This drac had managed to pull his weapon, and a few stray bolts hissed along the side of the car before Ray popped out of the T-top and took him out, too. The last cycle wavered, and Gerard imagined its rider was assessing his options. Close in on the crippled van, pursue the Trans Am, or escape. Gerard wasn't taking any chances. He whipped past the cycle and wrenched the wheel, sending the Trans Am fishtailing across the road until it blocked both lanes. The cycle wobbled as its rider decided whether to risk off-roading or making a turn of his own, and Mikey calmly sighted along the barrel of his ray gun and took the drac down. The cycle, riderless, toppled and skidded several dozen yards along the roadway before scraping to a halt nearly at the Trans Am's door. They were now several hundred yards down the road from the van, so Gerard steered carefully past the downed cycle and drove slowly back that way. The van flashed its high beams as they approached, then went dark. Gerard's own headlights picked out several figures slowly climbing out of the doors. An unfamiliar blonde woman climbed down from the driver's seat, circling immediately to check out the damage to the rear wheels, and swearing softly. The passenger door opened to reveal familiar polka-dotted leggings, but Gerard only had eyes for the figure sliding open the rear van door. Fungul. Then he saw the small figures huddled behind him. Kids, three of them, wearing dark clothing and expressions running the gamut from excited to bewildered to terrified. Gerard wasn't sure which one to pick himself. He'd been terrified when he first saw the Drax pursuing the van, and once he'd gotten behind the wheel, he'd been focused, exhilarated, controlled. Now he was back to being unsure. Fungul could always do that to him with one lift of a perfect eyebrow. He wished someone would just say something. Someone, of course, ended up being Showpony, who stepped in, smooth as always. "I knew you were a party on wheels," he teased gently, "but that was some dance, Party Poison. And you've brought the whole box of crayons with you, I see. Didn't recognize you at first without the jacket, Cobra." "Hey, Pony," Ray said, and Mikey echoed him. "Hey, Fungul." Ray nodded politely, and Fungul shook himself, expression shifting from considering to provocative. "Fancy meeting you here," he drawled. Gerard knew him well enough by now to guess what the bravado was covering, and his next words confirmed it. "So, which one of you overheard?" "That would be me," Gerard told him. "And you decided to tail me. I'm actually impressed." It was more sarcastic than impressed, and Gerard jumped into the breach. "Considering we just saved your asses, you better be." He could do attitude, too. "Always such a fucking killjoy," Fungul muttered. "He's right," the blonde woman chimed in from where she and Showpony were murmuring to the kids. "Whoever he is, this van's junked." Showpony shook himself. "Oh, sorry, KK. Guys, this is Killer Clown. KK, meet Party Poison, Jetstar, and Cobra Kid, the most fabulous killjoys I know." He shot Fungul a meaningful look. "They're running out of the diner with our favorite ghoul." "Shiny," KK pronounced after a moment, then actually stepped forward to shake all their hands. "I hate to rush things along, but we're drackbait here. Can we bum a ride?" "Fuck," Gerard muttered, counting heads and scanning the horizon. "Guys, check the bikes, see if any of them are still drivable. Put the kids in the back seat and squeeze in anywhere." Two of the cycles looked relatively undamaged, and Ray and KK drove them in a few slow figure eights before nodding and declaring them road ready. Showpony had already climbed in the back seat with the kids and pulled the smallest one onto his lap. Mikey looked expressionlessly between the Trans Am and the bikes, and pulled his helmet back on, hopping up behind Ray. That put Fungul right where Gerard was starting to get used to him, slouched in the passenger seat, watching him in judicious silence. "Where to?" Gerard asked him. He turned and had a silent conversation with Showpony for a moment, before sighing and answering, "To the diner." Gerard knew night driving made most of the runners nervous, but he found it soothing to hurtle through the dark with his headlights slicing the path ahead. Drax didn't usually run at night either, and closer to their turf, he knew. Because Fungul had drilled it into his head, Gerard admitted, all the vantage points, blind corners, and shortcuts. Ray and Gerard had earned Dr. D's unswerving devotion only weeks after their arrival in the zones, if keeping his transmissions console tapped into Scarecrow's security feeds hadn't already done it, by hacking several Scarecrow camera drones to broadcast an endless loop of empty desert. It was a bit of a losing battle. Gerard knew they'd never find all the drones unless they actually caught the Drax installing them, but they could at least keep sabotaging the old ones. It kept the area around the diner fairly off the radar, and so Gerard was feeling at least semi-secure as he parked the Trans Am behind the building, the two stolen cycles pulling in behind him. The adults hustled the three kids inside, and Ray and KK got them settled in the booths with some food, while Showpony and Mikey headed for the office to get extra mattresses and blankets ready. Fungul looked at Gerard, and Gerard looked back, then dug his cigarettes out of his pocket and tilted his head toward the back door. Fungul nodded tightly and followed him outside. Gerard didn't stop outside the door, but headed straight for the ladder that led to the roof. He didn't stop until he was sitting with his back up against the D, just like he'd been earlier that day. Fungul settled down against the eye and lit a cigarette. Gerard snuck a look at him. He was looking across the valley, but he looked over after a moment and met Gerard's gaze. "You were up here, huh?" he said.
"Maybe I shouldn't tell you my secrets," Gerard said, voice deliberately light.
"How many do you have?" Fungul answered in the same tone.
Gerard laughed, a little sourly. More than I'm willing to share. But maybe...
How about I start and we see how it goes?
I'm impressed at your generosity, Gerard said dryly. Okay, fine. First question. The kids. Explain.
Fungul sighed.
That's fair, I guess. It was the whole reason I didn't want to show you this place. That's what we use it for. A way station after we get the kids out of the battery. They go on to different zones, after this, to family or whoever agrees to foster them, but they usually start here.
Okay, Gerard said slowly. But why are you getting them out at all? Where are their parents?
Fungul inhaled sharply, then had to cough a little. When he answered, his voice was still a little watery, incredulous.
Do you actually live under a rock?
Is that your first question? Gerard sniped.
Yeah, actually, it is, Fungul answered after a beat.
Gerard huffed out an irritated breath. You are such a fucking asshole, he commented mildly. He hadn't felt the need to point it out to Fungul lately, but it wasn't the first time he'd said it. Fungul, as usual, just shrugged and blew smoke out of the side of his mouth. I lived in the city, you know that.
Did you ever watch Fact News? Did you ever bother to read the papers? Does the name Harmony Act ring any bells?
It did, actually. Gerard fought back through the medicated haze of his first months at BLI to the droid club with the mariachi band, the blatant falsehood of this song isn't about the Harmony Act, and he said,
I don't think I know about that part of it.
It was dark, but Gerard could still see Fungul's lip curl.
It's about the kids. Part of it. BLI run orphanages and schools, with job training.
They've always been around, Gerard pointed out, though not without a tiny shudder of memory. They'd wanted to take Mikey to an orphanage, after. Gerard had taken guardianship instead. He hadn't wanted to see his baby brother go to a place like that.
Okay.
I know,
Fungul said. There was something poisonous in his tone, like there was something personal there.
But now they want to make them compulsory for all children. Seriously, you missed this?
Apparently, Gerard murmured. No, the Gerard of a few months earlier wouldn't have paid attention. He didn't know any children. Mikey was of age. It wouldn't have affected him. He'd had other things on his mind.
Well, that's what we're doing. Getting them out. If the parents want them out but can't run themselves, if they're orphans and they don't have anyone to do it for them, it doesn't matter. They should be given the choice.
He said it like someone who hadn't had a choice, and Gerard itched to ask him, but it wasn't his turn yet. So it's you and KK and Showpony.
And others. People on the inside. Don't ask. That's not a part of this.
I wouldn't ask, Gerard said quietly. He knew what it was like to be the one on the inside. But why... He stopped himself. Why didn't you trust us? Was a stupid question, because Rule 3 was always going to be the answer. We'd have helped you, you know. How can we prove ourselves to you? Gerard asked finally.
You did, tonight, Fungul said after a moment of silence. Fucking Killjoy.
Fabulous Killjoy. Showpony says so.
He'd know, Fungul murmured, sounding fond.
Gerard couldn't even explain it, but that tone, just the hint of warmth, unlocked the things he usually kept stifled away around Fungul. He was suddenly aware of the light slanting over Fungul's disturbingly pretty face, and of how close they were sitting. Not nearly close enough. Not that he was going to do anything about it, but it made him forget for a moment and ask one of the things he'd been dying to know. One of the things you weren't supposed to ask.
Fungul, Gerard said in a low voice. Tell me your name.
He didn't answer right away.
Finally, he ground out his cigarette on the roof and said, Does it even mean anything anymore?
There's no right answer to that question.
That means there's no wrong answer either.
Gerard took a drag on his own cigarette, burning forgotten in his fingers. It does to me, he said finally. Once again there was a pause, just long enough for Gerard to come up with an excuse to jump up and leave. Then Fungul answered,
Frank. I'm Frank.
Frank. It suited him somehow, and... Your mask, Gerard realized. It's Frankenstein.
Fungul, Frank, was known for a garishly colored monster mask.
Is...
Old nickname,
Frank told him, then paused.
That's a lot more than I meant. I mean...
he stopped talking completely, and Gerard rushed to fill the silence. "Frank, hi, I'm Gerard."
"Gerard."
He sounded a little funny, and when Gerard looked over, he had his head tipped back against the eye, neck stretched out in a pale curve against his hair, his jacket, the sky. He had his eyes closed.
"Sometimes I feel like I already know you."
Gerard bit his lip, nervousness about discovery fighting against a wash of remembered sensation that crept from his fingertips to his stomach to his dick. "You do now," he answered. Frank just hummed in response, then answered,
"No, but it's a start."
He lit another cigarette, handed it to Gerard, then lit a second for himself. They smoked in silence this time, until it was time to go back inside. Gerard hadn't assisted in any other runs since that night, but now that he knew what Frank was doing, Frank's conversations with the runners at the places they stopped on their patrols had begun to make a lot more sense. These days, Gerard had plenty of contacts of his own, but he always stepped back when he knew Frank was making plans. Frank was in the middle of negotiations with the Pit Vipers, who ran the service station at the border of Zone 2, for bunk space for the night, when one of them sidled up and nudged Gerard in the ribs.
"Party poison, got a call for you."
"A call?" Gerard repeated. It was the gangly, skinny one they called Slim Jim, and he didn't talk much. In fact, he was mumbling now and turning sort of red.
"On radio. Broadcast channel. You're Fungal. It's Pony."
Gerard nodded. "Okay, Jim. Show me where." He caught Frank's eye and jerked his head toward the retreating Slim Jim. Frank nodded shortly and kept talking. Slim Jim led him into an office and pointed. It was an even older model console than the suitcase model they kept in the Trans Am, and he slipped the headphones on and punched the blinking channel button, then hit transmit and leaned over to speak into the mic. "Party poison, come back at me." The connection was crackly, but Gerard could make out,
"Party, it's Pony. You've got Fungal with you?"
"Other room. What's up?"
"I need wheels. The timetable changed up on us."
He was talking about the kids, of course. Gerard was just about to tug the headphones down and call into the other room when he heard a voice cutting in. Dr. D.
"Pony, is that Party or Fungal?"
"It's Party Poison," he said into the mic.
"Sorry, Pony,"
Dr. D said.
"You're just gonna have to work something out. I need Party to meet me. The main antenna just shit the bed."
Show Pony swore. Then there was a murmured discussion that Gerard couldn't quite hear above the static. Then he was back on the mic.
"Meet Doc. He's gonna need both of you. I'll make other arrangements."
10-4. Gerard punched a few buttons to reset the console to receive and dropped the headphones.
"Ghoul?"
he called out, hurrying back into the other room.
"Yeah?"
"Gotta go." Frank didn't question him, just tugged his bandana up, then flipped the head Pit Viper a quick salute and got one in return. Gerard tied his own bandana over his face. It was a windy afternoon. And led them back out to the Trans Am. "It was Pony on the radio. He needed us in the car for the, you know," Gerard said when they were inside the car. He tried out several different code names for Frank's little project, but Frank had yelled at him for most of them. Delivery time got changed, but Doc needs me at the station, so Pony said to take care of him instead.
Frank smirked. "Oh, he did he? Boy, do you get around."
"Ghoul," Gerard said warningly. "We're gonna need your help, too. The fucking antenna's broken." Frank didn't react noticeably to that, but as Gerard pulled onto the road, trailing dust, he continued thoughtfully,
"I'm just saying, gee, you're a busy boy. Doc and Pony? I didn't know they were into that. Or do you just alternate?"
His voice was oozing faux curiosity. Gerard glanced at the passenger seat out of the corner of his eye. Frank's lips were twitching. He trusted Frank to have his back, but he was torture in more ways than one. The more worked up Gerard got about things, the more Frank seemed to enjoy giving him shit.
"Fuck you, Frank." "If you think you can spare the energy after all these people who need you," Frank drawled.
He waited a moment, then dropped three words into the silence inside the car. "Wanna find out?" Let Frank think he was fucking with him. Let Frank think he was serious. Gerard had bitten back one too many replies to Frank's teasing. In the passenger seat, Frank wasn't saying a word. Gerard clenched his jaw and kept driving. He didn't know what that meant. After so many nights rolled up together in a stack of cheap blankets, picturing the edges of half-covered tattoos, he didn't want to admit how much he wanted it to mean something. Dr. D was waiting at the warehouse, and when he saw that Gerard had brought Frank along, he grimaced a bit.
"I tried to raise you at the diner, so I knew you were out running with Party," he said to Frank. "If I had an extra vehicle, I'd send you to Pony instead, but..." "He's got the twins on call since KK's in 5 for a few weeks. They haven't made a run yet, but they know the drill."
Frank sounded more confident than he looked.
"Well, if I can't get this antenna up and running, the radio system for 3 zones is fucked. So do you think you could lend your considerable talents to something other than explosions for a few hours?" "I said yes, Doc."
Frank shot an amused glance at Gerard, who smirked a little half-smirk of his own. Dr. D had had a busy news week with Fungul's latest exploits.
"Well, then."
Dr. D scowled and thunked irritably at one of his leg braces. Frank and Gerard both looked. The metal was scored and twisted in a way that looked fresh. "What happened?" Gerard asked, nodding at the damage. Dr. D rolled his eyes, crossed his arms over his chest.
"Drax paid us a visit at one of the secondary locations a few days ago. Roughed me up some."
"Doc?" Gerard cut off at an irritable gesture from Dr. D.
"I roughed them up worse." "Take that off, Doc," Frank interrupted. "I've got a torch on the Trans Am. I'll reshape it for you."
He started unbuckling the lower straps himself, hands gentle, and looked up over his shoulder at Gerard.
"Guess that means I'll see you on the roof, Party. Again."
He gave Gerard a cheeky little wink. Gerard flipped him off, turning away to hide the breath he'd just skipped. As he walked out, he heard Dr. D grumbling at Frank to,
"Pay attention to what you're doing, princess!"
And something in his stomach gave a little extra twist. Gerard was stripped down to a single layer, roof cinders sticking to his sweaty face and arms, by the time Frank emerged.
"Thought you were some sort of genius,"
Frank commented mildly, dropping a box of spare parts next to Gerard.
"Still not done?"
"Still a smartass?" Gerard darted a look over his shoulder. Frank was smiling a little to himself. "Get your ass over here. This coupling is frozen. I need leverage."
"It's the fucking desert. Nothing is frozen,"
Frank sniped, but he moved in next to Gerard with a wrench. It took 15 minutes of swearing and maneuvering until they got to the damaged wiring compartment. Frank grinned and leaned in to tap his shoulder against Gerard's, and Gerard, letting out a slow breath of relief at their success, deliberately leaned back, pressing to keep the contact. He watched Frank bite his lip and twist in slow motion to face him. Overbalanced, their chests bumped, slid as Gerard reached to catch himself, Frank's breath puffing over his cheek.
"Gee,"
Frank started, eyes tracking over Gerard's face. He licked at the red mark on his lip, and still Gerard couldn't look away.
"Move over so I can look at that wiring,"
Frank finished quietly. Gerard moved. It didn't matter. He was still aware of every move Frank made. The sun was miserable from the start, but they worked through even the hottest hours to get the station back online. Gerard was back inside, tweaking the console connections with Dr. D, when he heard Frank shout from up on the roof. He rushed outside. A lone cycle was streaking down the road. It skidded to a stop in a cloud of dust, and the rider tumbled off. When the helmet came off, they could see Diana, brown skin streaked with dried blood from temple to jaw. She limped towards the door, and Gerard caught her by the shoulders, looking her over quickly. "Are you—"
"I'm fine. Where's Fungul?"
"Here,"
Frank called, climbing down from the roof and tugging his vest back on.
"What the fuck happened? Where are the others?"
"I was on point. We got split up. They were running, but they had Drax backing them into a corner. We need you."
Frank and Gerard exchanged a look. Then Gerard turned. Dr. D was in the doorway.
"Go," he said. "I'll try to raise some extra runners for you on the waves to cover the exit routes."
Gerard grabbed his jacket and jumped into the driver's seat of his car, while Diana and Frank tumbled in the passenger side. He took one last look at Dr. D, watching from the doorway, and peeled out onto the main road. Diana directed him cross-zone, and he realized Pony had been running for the gas station where he'd first taken Gerard, Mikey, and the twins. His favorite rabbit hole, he'd called it. Shit. They'd be golden if they made it there without a tail. If they didn't... well... Gerard didn't want to think about what would happen if they didn't.
"Trust Pony did run a drag tail straight into a fucking maze," Frank said when they parked on the other side of the junkyard. "Shit, the kids must have gotten busted. They'll be trying to draw off the guard and pick them off one by one if I know them. We need to split up," he hissed.
There were vehicles clustered outside the garage bay doors, several cycles and a white van. Small figures were already being loaded into the van by one of the Drax.
"Diana, from the west. I'll come in from the north by the gas pumps and see if I can get to that van.
Party, you get the south side. Keep your eyes open for Apollo and Show Pony.
Gerard and Diana both nodded grimly. From the south meant through the junkyard. Gerard wound gamely through the broken-down hulks of cars and rusty oil drums, ray gun in hand, eyes scanning for signs of white suits, or for Apollo's coffee-brown skin and Show Pony's polka dots. He heard shouts and gunfire and froze for a moment, then took off in a hunched run in the direction of the scuffle. He stopped abruptly, catching himself and scraping his hand on an oil drum, when he rounded the corner of a scrap pile and caught sight of the vehicle crouched next to the gas pumps. A dangerous-looking sports car could mean several things in the city, but it really only meant one thing in the zones. He was here, Gerard knew immediately. It was just a question of if, no, when, he'd find Gerard. It never crossed Gerard's mind to run. Not that he would have anyway, with Frank and Diana and Show Pony and Apollo all in the wind. He leaned his forehead against the rough, rust-stained surface of the car body next to him and closed his eyes. Just for a moment. When he rounded the last corner nearest the building, Corse was there, standing looking out over the desert, coat flapping in the wind, gun loose in his hand. Gerard tightened his grip on his own. He didn't stop walking, though, and Corse looked over at the sound of footsteps. He was alone. Gerard could have shot him by now. But now, Corse's eyes were on him, raking over him from neon head to the dusty toes of his boots.
"Gerard," he said softly, "you have, after all, managed to surprise me."
"Don't you mean again?"
"Do you presume to know what I do mean, Gerard?"
"I know you."
Impossibly, Corse smiled.
"Are you sure?"
Gerard wasn't sure of anything anymore.
"But if you're wondering, my boy, yes, I have been looking. So helpful of you to make an appearance. We never finished our last conversation."
Gerard felt something cold and heavy settle into the pit of his stomach. The weight of Corse's gaze, the knowledge of the trust he'd betrayed. He still found it incomprehensible, knowing what he now knew, that someone like Corse could ever trust anyone. Perhaps he was wrong, and he'd never been trusted, just watched for the first sign of dissent. He'd hidden his rebellions well, he knew, up until the last moment, his one reckless act of open defiance. It made him wonder if this was a game to Corse, after all.
"We were finished," Gerard said grimly.
"That's where you're wrong," Corse growled,
but if he had anything else to add, it was lost as running feet rounded the corner, resolving into the small frame of Frank coming at them at full speed, skidding to a stop on a patch of gravel at the side of them. He took in the tableau for a moment, then launched himself at Gerard.
"Down, motherfucker!"
he snapped, body-hitting Gerard's ankle and taking him down himself, rolling in the dirt just as a flash of flame and a wall of heat preceded a terrible boom. Over Frank's shoulder, Gerard saw Corse go stumbling down a few yards away. All three of them struggled to their feet when the patter of debris died down, Gerard and Frank clutching at each other's arms, Corse atypically covered in grime and moving slowly. He'd also lost his gun in the explosion, but he started to advance on Frank anyway.
"I know your face," he growled. "What did you blow up this time, Fungul?"
"Other than the gas pumps? Your car," Frank sneered.
He took a step towards Corse, empty-handed but bristling with aggression. Corse returned the look coolly, staring straight up the barrel of Gerard's gun.
"Keep running, Fungul, but know that I'll catch you. I'll put out cigarettes in your eyeballs. I'll carve that ink right out of your skin. I'll ghost you just to bring you back to do it again."
Corse had always read Gerard like a book, and he wasn't above breaking other people's toys. Not that Frank was a toy. He was so much more, and Corse would be so much more cruel because of it. Gerard shuddered when Corse's eyes shifted back to meet his.
"And you, party poison, you—"
Gerard didn't wait around to hear what Corse would do to him. His dreams were already too full of possibilities. He wrapped an arm around Frank and dragged him away from the gas station, back into the junkyard. Frank stopped struggling once they'd gotten back under cover, shoving Gerard back in the direction they'd come from. A heartbeat later, the Trans Am came roaring up, and Frank and Gerard both tumbled in the passenger door. Apollo was behind the wheel, Diana in the back seat with a pale, sweating Show Pony stretched out over her lap. Gerard wrapped his arm around Frank's waist, holding on for dear life as Apollo shot away from the gas station. Only one cycle was still standing, and while it pursued them for a mile or two, a few targeted blasts from Gerard's ray gun soon sent it skittering back to its comrades. It was Frank doing the shooting, twisted around in Gerard's lap, leaning chest to chest as he steadied his wrist on the side of the car. Gerard clutched him even closer when Apollo sent the car into a skid going around a corner onto a dirt access road. They didn't know what else to do, and they were close enough to the zone border that an old bunker Dr. D used to use for storage was their best option. Frank picked off the last pursuer as Gerard called out directions to Apollo that would take them down a relatively surveillance-free route. Every nerve in his body was on high alert, and his hands itched to be on the wheel of his car. He was grateful for the backup, sick with worry over Show Pony in the back seat, but mostly numb. Even the weight of Frank in his lap, the subject of more than one late-night fantasy, couldn't erase the memory of Corse's face. Angry, assessing, and oh so patient. Gerard hadn't intended to make an enemy, hadn't been thinking of how Corse would retaliate at all. Maybe he should have been. He'd been doing a good job, up until now, of shaking off the memories like so much dust. When they pulled up in front of the bunker, Show Pony was barely conscious, and Diana's face was looking pinched. Apollo insisted on carrying him inside, and Frank cleared a long table with a few frustrated movements. Gerard went and fetched a medical kit, but Frank took it and shooed him away before Gerard got more than a glance at the mess the laser blast had made of Pony's shoulder.
"Go call Doc," Frank murmured.
"Is he gonna—"
"Go call Dr. D," Frank repeated, "and let me patch him up."
He sent Diana away as well, but kept Apollo on as an extra set of hands. Gerard swallowed hard and headed for the transmission setup. "Doc, where are you?" Gerard murmured, punching buttons and tugging a set of headphones over his ears. He keyed up a broadcast channel the runners used for chatter and said, "Party poison to Dr. Death Defying, come in." Dr. D wasn't answering, and Gerard frowned, flicking through the channels. He repeated the message once more before the static spit back.
"Cherry cola to party poison, step up and come back."
Gerard tuned to the next channel up and sent back, "Party poison, hit me."
"Got the good doctor here in my nest. It'll be a minute. When are you going to come round and visit me, Red? I hear such nice things."
"Lies, I'm sure," Gerard replied tensely. He wasn't in the mood for small talk.
"Eh,"
the voice answered airily.
"That's more fun anyway. Come tell me lies, sweet thing. I'll light a fire. It'll be like birthday parties and sound waves had a beautiful baby." "Party,"
another voice cut in on the same frequency.
"Dr. D.D., hit me."
They got jumped. Fungal sent some things sky high. Pony got lit up. We got him to the bunker in 3. It's not bad, but—
"I'll be there."
Dead air. "That went well," Gerard mumbled to himself. "He's going to be fine," Diana said from behind him. "Can you make one more transmission? We need to tell our people in the city about the kids." "Fungal hasn't told me who they are," Gerard said. Diana rolled her eyes. "If I hear the phrase, need to know basis one more time from him or my brother, I'm gonna kick them in the nuts. Soldiers," she sighed, shaking her head. "It's frequency 97. Ask for JD. Gerard keyed up the frequency automatically, but he was still thinking. What turned one soldier into Corse, and another into Fungul or Dr. Death Defying? He snapped back into the present when the radio crackled.
"JD,"
in a familiar voice. Battery City Droid Club, of course. Mikey and Ray had always spent a lot of time there. Hell, Gerard had spent a lot of time there. How had he missed? Oh, right, the drinking.
"State your name or kiss my battery,"
JD continued. "It's Diana. Things went pear-shaped out here."
"No shit, princess. My eyes in the sky say that 3 little piggies came wee-wee-weeing back home with the blind mice."
3? Are you fucking sure? Should have been 4. Diana's eyes went wide. "Shit!" she hissed, yanking off the headphones and tossing them on the console. She went running out of the room, yelling Fungul's name. Gerard pulled off his own headphones and followed.
"What the fuck, Di? It's not like I'm doing minor surgery or anything here," Frank snapped.
"We lost a kid," she snapped back.
"Lost a kid."
"Pony came out with 4, Drax took 3 back into the city. Need help with the math?"
"Shit, shit, shit,"
Frank muttered, dropping the roll of surgical tape he was holding. Apollo caught it before it rolled off the table and gently shoved him aside to finish taping up Pony's shoulder. Pony was stirring, and Frank absently smoothed his hair off his forehead. Gerard caught his eye, looked between Frank's face and his hand, and Frank turned a little red. Interesting. Fungul was showing a few new layers.
"Which kid was it?"
Frank asked Diana. She shrugged. JD doesn't know that kind of stuff. He didn't even know we were missing one.
Well, it would make it easier to find him. Her. Whichever.
Frank was pacing, lost in thought, tugging at his hair, and Diana just made a disgruntled noise. I'm going to make up a cot for Showpony. She stalked off.
Frank growled a little and kept pacing.
Ghoul. Gerard snapped, so he'd stop and look up. He continued more gently. We'll find the kid. I promise.
Oh, you promise, do you?
Frank answered with half-hearted sarcasm. His color was still high, his eyes a bit blurry. Gerard couldn't stop himself. He reached out and laid a hand against Frank's cheek, forcing him back into eye contact. Call the guys on the shop frequency. They'll come help. It'll be okay. Trust me. After a moment and another wordless look, Frank hunched his shoulders and turned away. Gerard watched him leave the room, then turned back to Apollo and Showpony. Let's move him, he said to Apollo, who scooped Pony up as gently as possible. Gerard led the way and opened the doors, and by the time they'd made it into the bunk room, Showpony's eyes were open again. He waved the others off, but grabbed Gerard's wrist to keep him there. Gerard nodded at the twins and turned back to Pony, smoothing his hair in much the way Frank had done. Dr. D's on his way, he said quietly. I called him. He's gonna kill me when he sees this.
My big boy, Showpony said. Not your fault.
If I hadn't asked Fungul to stay and help me, he'd have been with you. The twins are green.
They've been out here as long as you have, party.
Showpony chuckled weakly, then coughed. Gerard reached for a cup on the floor by the cot, sniffed it warily, and almost wished he hadn't. Rotgut whiskey, the zone's only painkiller, not in capsule form. Pills had been in short supply at the last swap meet, and Gerard was pretty sure he wasn't the only runner who refused to keep them on hand anyway. Leave that to the public houses and their Tommy Chow Mains. He handed it over. It's different, Pony finished.
I know. Why do you think Doc sent you off with Frank?
I was pretty sure it was punishment for one or both of us. Gerard couldn't help the fondness that snuck in beneath the wry tone, and Showpony gave him an inquiring once over. Gerard felt himself flush. You called him Frank, he said.
We've known each other for a long time, Pony murmured. You did too.
Gerard stopped himself. Nothing. It's not important. How are you feeling?
I've had worse, Pony joked.
Make sure you tell that to Doc.
So sassy, party poison.
Pony closed his eyes for a few minutes while Gerard sat quietly at his side. When he finally opened them, he looked back at Gerard.
Do you know why Doc sent you off with Frank?
No, Gerard said quietly.
Fungul needed a distraction. The Harmony kids running the zones with you, repping Jet and Cobra at the swap meets.
Gerard nodded. Frank was the most irritable when he had nothing to do.
Better to keep the pins in your grenades when you can, Doc says.
He's a little bit more than a weapon, Gerard commented after thinking about that for a moment.
That's why I wanted him to stay with you, Pony replied. Because you realize that. Realize what?
It was Frank, leaning in the doorway, arms crossed over his chest.
That you're more than a punk with a detonator, Showpony told him. Lies, Frank shot back. What kind of zoner cocktail are you hopped up on, Pony? I already had to convince him once that we're not fucking, you're making it worse.
Showpony laughed.
You put on a good show, Fungul, you really do.
He fell silent as Frank came further into the room, crouched by the side of the cot.
Don't put me through this again, Ricky,
Frank said quietly. Gerard flinched at the unfamiliar name. It was like they'd forgotten he was there, until Showpony lifted his eyes to meet Gerard's for a moment, before looking back at Frank.
I can't promise you that, Frankie, you know that. I brought you out here for a reason, so they couldn't take your choices away like they tried to do to me. I know that, so let me have them. We're never going back to that place, Frankie, never. If I die out here, at least it'll be out here. You're not going to die, Frank snapped. Not today,
Showpony smiled.
Now take your partner and go find the lost lamb. We're waiting. Jet and Cobra are on their way,
Frank said tightly. Sun's going down, Gerard replied. He was as tense as Frank looked.
Survival gear's in the back room,
Showpony added. The desert at night was just as dangerous as it was during the day, on the other end of the spectrum.
Hope we don't need it.
Frank checked the charge on his ray gun, a habitual tick, then said,
Keys,
to Gerard. Gerard tossed him the car keys, and he stalked out of the room. He's pissed, Gerard said miserably after Frank left. Chopin grimaced.
At me, maybe, not you.
Bull, said Gerard. At me, because we weren't there.
Bet you can add me to the list for keeping you away, said Dr. D from the doorway.
He pushed his chair as close to the cot as it would go, leaned in to kiss Showpony.
Asshole,
he murmured.
Ghoul or me?
Showpony asked, with a twist at the corner of his mouth.
Both of you,
Dr. D grumbled.
Getting shot, Pony, the kids
are worth it, Doc.
Need you in one piece,
Dr. D corrected.
So do I,
he added more quietly, then looked up at Gerard.
Your box of crayons just pulled up behind me, party.
Thanks, Gerard said, and left, giving them a shred of privacy for whatever else they were murmuring back and forth. Frank was outside, loading supplies into the Trans Am's trunk and talking quietly to Ray. Mikey pushed off the bumper of a black van where he was leaning, talking to Apollo and a tall, thin runner Gerard didn't recognize. Gerard waved his team into the Trans Am and pulled out onto the road. Do we need to fill you in? Gerard asked. Ray shook his head. Frank did.
We gotta do this on foot,
Frank said.
So be careful in case the...
Drax are still in the area. Mikey finished.
We know. We've been practicing our fighting.
Gerard snorted. He'd seen what Mikey considered fighting moves. Luckily, he was a better shot than he was a hand-to-hand fighter, and he had way better gadgets. Cool it, Batman.
Fuck you, G. If anyone is Batman, it's me,
Frank said from the back seat. You're a little short, Gerard said mildly.
That's not why,
Frank said, his tone taking a turn towards dark. Gerard eyed him in the rearview mirror, but didn't reply. It felt like an echo of earlier that day, pulling the car over behind some rocks, dividing the area into quadrants, setting off with guns drawn. The sun was low in the sky already, and they searched on foot until full dark, checking behind every rock and scrub bush, calling softly. When it got too dark to see, they congregated back at the car, grimy and grim-faced. If the kid's still out here, he or she is hiding, Ray said. Or
isn't out here.
Mikey finished for him, shooting him a quelling look after glancing at Frank's tight expression.
What now?
He asked. We could go back to the safe house if Frank hadn't blown it up, Gerard commented dryly, trying to break the tension. It didn't work.
Fuck you,
Frank growled.
It was compromised anyway, and we got Showpony out of there without course pursuing, didn't we?
You saw course? Mikey snapped at Gerard. Frank shot them a considering glance, and Gerard hurried to say, Can we just decide what we're doing here?
There's a valley in the section I searched. We could hide a campfire,
Ray offered.
We don't know if there are still Drax in this sector.
Did you see any? Gerard asked. I mean, we'll take turns on watch anyway. It doesn't look like rain, and it's better than sleeping in the car. He and Frank had done it once or twice. It was manageable with two, not so fine with four.
The kid might see the fire, Ray commented. Drax might see the fire, Frank repeated.
Then we deal with it. Gerard headed back to the car himself, and after a moment he heard the sounds of the others following him. They got set up for the night. Frank built the fire himself in the end. Gerard dragged the portable transmissions unit out to call Dr. D. How's Showpony? Gerard asked.
Fine. Resting. Where the fuck are you?
Camping out until first light. No luck.
I assumed. Well, sing a round of Kumbaya with the Drax for me.
Not funny, asshole, Gerard told him. Frank sniggered behind him.
Wasn't meant to be. Watch your tail, party.
Gerard rolled his eyes and signed off. Ray was jumpy and Frank was disturbingly silent. Gerard settled in, shoulder to shoulder with Mikey.
Course, Gerard.
Mikey repeated his earlier question quietly. Gerard saw the flash of Frank's glance from across the fire. It was fine. We got away. Obviously.
You were talking to him when I found you, Frank put in. Course isn't the type to chat. You didn't even try to take him out. What the fuck did I teach you to shoot for?
I wasn't going to shoot him in cold blood, Gerard answered weakly.
He would,
Frank sneered. No, Gerard was pretty sure Course wouldn't. Not him. But he couldn't exactly tell Frank that. We got away, Gerard repeated.
He was beginning to think he'd never get away from the memory of that face, but that was beside the point. It didn't matter, not right now. Frank was watching him with narrowed eyes, smoking and saying nothing. It was a bad sign. They split the night into watches, but Gerard couldn't sleep. Frank was up, staring off into the hills beyond the fire, and Gerard grabbed his bedroll and his cigarettes and went to sit beside him. Frank looked over, watched Gerard get settled silently. "Can't sleep," Gerard told him, offering a cigarette. Frank nodded and took one, lit it, and inhaled. Gerard twirled his own in his fingers for a moment before following suit. "I'm sorry," he added. Frank's eyes flicked back to Gerard's face. He didn't ask what Gerard was sorry for.
"No guarantee it would have happened anyway," he answered finally. "No guarantees at all out here. We all know that."
"Showpony's not just any runner to you. Ricky, that is," Gerard reminded Frank. Frank looked at him steadily for a moment.
"We grew up together. Ever heard of Harmony House?"
Gerard nodded. It was the BLI orphanage that had lent its name to the Harmony Act, as Gerard had discovered in a flurry of research after their last late-night conversation.
"He's younger than me. It's a bad place. I took care of him."
Frank paused.
"So no. There are no guarantees out here. But does that matter to you when it's Mikey?"
"No."
"Well then. But that's really on me."
Gerard took a few puffs of his own cigarette. "They wanted to take Mikey after my parents died," he admitted. "I was old enough to take guardianship until he was of age, so I did."
"He's one of the lucky ones, then," Frank said darkly. "And it's only gotten worse since then."
"This is why you do it," Gerard mused. Frank met his eyes. Frank met his eyes and didn't look away, past the point when someone else would have looked away. Should have looked away. So Gerard didn't look away either. He watched the shadows from the fire lick across Frank's face, but he bit his tongue. After a long pause, Frank's eyes slipped down and away.
"Do you hear that?"
Gerard paused, listened. "Yeah," he said. "What is that?" It was footsteps. There was really no question. Shuffling steps some distance away over the ridge.
"Wake the others," Frank told him, drawing his ray gun.
Gerard went and crouched by Ray, shaking his shoulder. "Something's out there," he whispered. "Get Mikey up. Meet us by the car." Ray leaned over Mikey, and Gerard crept back to the portable console, easing the case closed and carrying it back to the car. Frank slipped in through the open window as Mikey and Ray hurried over. Frank jerked his head in the direction of the footfalls. Gerard nodded, and the four of them filed off into the shadows of the scrub. Something was moving in the gloom. Ray stepped up close to Gerard, put a hand on his shoulder. "White suit," he murmured.
"They don't usually travel alone,"
Gerard whispered back.
"Fan out."
Beside him, Frank nodded. Gerard tightened his grip on his gun and took the middle, going still behind a dead tree and watching. As the figure cleared the ridge line, he could see ripped cotton tee instead of a suit coat. No mask.
"This isn't a good spot for a stroll, pal. We've got three barrels trained on you from the brush. Can you see them?"
Gerard called out, and the man stopped, hand-jerking toward his own holster before he froze.
"That's not counting mine," Gerard added.
"Sounds like a party," the man replied.
Definitely not a drac. They'd largely replaced words with masks. This intruder was bareheaded, but still a stranger. He spread his hands wide.
"And me without my piñata."
"A name would be enough,"
Frank called from the shadows. The man turned his head.
"Fungal?"
Frank stepped close enough to catch the stranger with a match flare.
"Cherry? Thought you'd gotten yourself good and dead, it'd been so long. What's with the outfit? You're going to get dusted by some wavehead."
"Urgent intel for the good doctor. Forgot my party dress."
He paused.
"Man, Doc was right, Ghoul. You've become quite the killjoy."
"Maybe I have," Frank answered. "Follow me."
He turned back deliberately and led the way to the fire. Gerard fell in behind Cherry, who looked him up and down as soon as he cleared the ring of firelight.
"Well now, party poison, looks like we're meeting sooner rather than later."
He cocked his head.
"Agent Cherry Cola, at your service."
"Did Dr. D send you out here?" Cherry Cola eyed him, and Gerard didn't miss how he avoided the question.
"I have intel for you, too, Red. Unusual drac activity near the Dry Sea Motel. Like they were looking for something. They don't like to stay in the zones too long, not this far out. Maybe this interests you?"
You know it does, Cherry.
Frank sat down on Gerard's other side. Ray and Mikey also settled themselves around the fire. Cherry looked them over, too.
Is it sing-along time? Boy, this is some party.
He hummed a few bars of an old song.
And said, dear boy, gonna make you a man.
No. He stopped when Frank growled.
You've been out here too long,
Frank told him, and Agent Cherry laughed.
That's the pot calling the kettle radioactive,
he answered, and shifted closer to Gerard to sling an arm around his shoulders.
Cool things on polka dotty,
Cherry whispered.
He's right, maybe. I'm still looking for a dance partner.
Gerard bit his lip, forcing himself to relax under Cherry's weight. Cherry Cola's holster poked him in the ribs, and Gerard shifted, then forgot it as Cherry started telling them stories.
News from the zones,
he called it, a mix of the known and unknown, the mundane and fantastic. They fed him. Ray nodded off again. Stretching and grimacing, Cherry Cola appeared to run out of steam, pushing himself to his feet using Frank's shoulder as leverage.
I'll keep my eye out for you in the zones, Killjoys. You're on Cherry's good list.
Saluting them lazily, he dusted himself off and headed back over the ridge.
Wait, Cherry, it's...
Mikey cut himself off.
Still dark, he finished to Gerard and Frank.
How'd he even get here? Gerard asked. Should we go after him? If there are Drax a click away?
I don't know much about Cherry Cola, Frank said, but what I do know is that it's no use worrying about Cherry Cola.
He checked his gun again, then shot a glance at Mikey.
Your watch. I'm gonna go sleep in the car.
Gerard watched him go.
Bad blood? He asked.
I don't think so, Mikey said. Frank just doesn't seem to trust people. Gerard laughed, a little sourly.
Well, he hooked up with the wrong crew then, didn't he?
He muttered. Mikey eyed him for a moment, eyes dark with concern.
Everyone out here has secrets.
Not everyone's secrets are like mine, and I made you and Ray keep them.
You're out now, Mikey said quickly. Doesn't that mean you can let it go?
Even if I did, Mikes, even if I did.
Of course wouldn't. Mikey might not know that, but Gerard was sure of it.
Then maybe you should tell him the truth.
Maybe I can let him punch me in the face and watch him walk away.
Gerard would take the fist to the face, but he was beginning to think that Frank leaving would take something else, something Gerard wasn't sure he was prepared to lose. Gerard thought for a second about following Frank, but lost his nerve and settled against Mikey's side instead. Mikey leaned against a tree stump and watched the fire. Gerard fell asleep to the sensation of Mikey smoothing wayward strands of his hair. They were up and moving at first light, approaching the area of dry sea from the desert. Gerard did his best to ignore the barbed wire and gleam of something that could have been bone just off the path. The wind was strong. They were all wearing their rebreathers. Gerard saw it first, a small form picking its way through the brush, a drac unit sweeping in, taunting. He took off at a run, and the Draculoid was so intent on nonverbal baiting that he missed the yellow barrel to his head until it was too late for him. The rest of the unit converged, but it was too late for them, too. The other guys took them out while Gerard gathered the kid close and out of harm's way. She, it was, upon closer inspection, a girl, wriggled to get free as soon as the laser blasts died down. Gerard kept a hand on her shoulder and looked her over for any obvious injuries.
It's okay. Are you okay? We're friends.
The girl nodded jerkily, hugging a robot doll to her chest. Gerard looked over his shoulder, following her gaze. Frank came up behind him, yanking his Frankenstein mask up out of the way. He laid a hand on Gerard's shoulder and added,
"We're friends of Showpony's. He sent us to look for you."
"Showpony?" she asked, brightening, and Gerard nodded.
"The one and only. What's your name?"
"Grace," she said.
"What's your robot's name?" Frank asked.
"Mr. Steele," Grace said.
"Okay, Grace, we're going to get you out of here and take you someplace to get food and cleaned up, okay? You and Mr. Steele. Do you know how to use this?"
Frank pulled a rebreather mouthpiece out of a pocket of his vest and handed it over. Grace nodded and held it to her mouth, clutching Mr. Steele with the other hand and trudging after Frank with squared shoulders. Gerard brought up the rear. Their little trio stopped where Mikey and Ray were crouched over the fallen Drax cycles.
"Salvageable?"
Gerard asked. Mikey shook his head.
"That tall guy I was talking to back at the bunker? That's Casanova. He runs with a gang out of five. He was telling me the newer bikes have tracers. See?"
Mikey pointed to an area where he and Ray had pulled back the bike fuselage. The small metal disc looked like exactly nothing,
but that was certainly the point. Gerard, Frank, Mikey, and Ray had demolished and rebuilt just about every mechanical component the zones had to offer by this time, and Mikey and Ray's swap meets contacts were constantly bringing them more. Gerard winced. "Is it hardwired?" Ray told him. "I'm afraid of what it might activate or detonate if we try to yank it."
"No time," Frank said. "We gotta get the motor baby here undercover."
Ray looked up, seemed to focus on Grace for the first time. He smiled. "Hey, kiddo. Nice robot." "He's just a toy," she said. "I like toys." Ray flicked the robot's arm up and down a little bit in a wave. "Especially robots." Grace beamed, and Frank nudged the rebreather forgotten in her hand.
"Don't forget this. We gotta move."
They wound their way back to where they'd left the car and loaded in. Gerard sent them hurtling through the desert while Mikey kept watch for pursuers from the passenger seat. Ray and Frank sat on either side of Grace in the back, and Gerard listened with a tiny half-smile as Frank gave her a kid-friendly version of Showpony's welcome speech.
"We all pick names for ourselves," he told her. "Like being in a club. Mine is Fungul. This is Jetstar."
Ray ran a hand through his hair, and Grace beamed. She'd made a delighted noise when he'd taken off his helmet, and she'd seen his hair, even curlier and wilder than hers, and insisted that Mr. Steele sit with him in the car.
"Up in the front seat," Frank continued, "that's Cobra Kid. He's easy, his name is on his jacket."
Frank tapped the letters on Mikey's sleeve.
"And Party Poison's driving."
Grace repeated all their names. "I get a nickname too?" she asked, and Frank nodded.
"Anything you want."
"I need to think about it," she answered, sounding very adult. Gerard bit his lip so he wouldn't laugh. He could see Mikey doing the same thing in the passenger seat.
"Showpony will be glad to see you,"
Frank told Grace. "Is he wherever we're going?" Grace asked.
"Not right now. We'll get to see him soon. He got hurt a little bit."
Gerard glanced in the rearview mirror. Grace's face got serious, and she said, "By the Drax? Because of us?" "He's okay," Gerard repeated. "Frank, Fungul fixed him."
"We take care of each other out here," Frank said. "And Showpony's sort of like my little brother."
He met Gerard's eyes in the rearview mirror.
"Oh," Grace said. Sounded like she'd just remembered something. "You're the one."
"The what?"
Frank asked.
"The one who knew the way out of Harmony House and told Showpony. He told us you were very smart," she said proudly.
Mikey and Ray were both turning to look at Frank now, too, and he turned to look out the back window for a moment, hair falling across his face.
"I don't know about that,"
Frank said.
"Jetstar and Cobra here, they're pretty smart. They build robots."
That got her started with a million questions for Ray and Mikey. The next time Gerard glanced in the rearview mirror, Frank was looking silently out the window again.